We are getting sporty now and summer may be on the way, I think, but we are going to talk about a rather chilly sport. It's curling, and more blind and partially sighted people, as well as those with other disabilities, are taking up the sport. Well, one organisation not only is playing the game, but they are getting invites from across the globe to come and play. Now, to tell us a little bit more, we have with us Jim Gales and Stevie Cunningham. Now, Jim, first of all, tell me a little bit about the club itself.
Okay, well, we've been running as Disabled Curlers Scotland for about 3 or 4 years now, but initially we were kick-started by a visit to Edinburgh from a lady and her husband who were vision impaired from Winnipeg in Canada. And her name was Doris Coop, and we had a meeting with her, and she was basically across in Scotland to promote curling for blind and vision impaired people on ice. And at that particular time, around about 2010, there wasn't any strong presence in Scotland for blind or vision impaired people. We dabbled a little bit in training and tuition sessions and actually played competition maybe 2 or 3 times a year at most. So Doris gave us quite a boost to get things established on a more professional and a more competitive basis. And she then invited us across to participate in one of their competitions in Western Canada. So around about 2010-11 season, we got a group of three of us together and went across more as a fact-finding mission than anything else. Stevie, myself, and another guy from the east of Scotland went across to Winnipeg for about a week, and competed as part of various teams at various kinds of bonspiels and competitions. And from that, we came back and developed Disabled Curlers Scotland. It's been slow to start because obviously the curling season only runs for 6 months of the year, so that restricts us a little bit. But we're gradually building members, and this competition that we're going across to at the end of March will hopefully bring on the opportunities more and more.
And we have Stevie Cunningham with us as well. Stevie, it's probably not the first sporting event you think of for someone who has a visual impairment. What's so appealing about it, though?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not the definitely not the first sport that springs to mind. You know, you got a lot of fair weather sports people, if you like, who don't sort of go out during the winter and whatnot. But the appeal of it for me is the skill element involved in it. You know, it's not just hitting a ball or some sort of similar thing. You know, you have to think about what you're doing. You have to be able to vary the weight of the stone in accordance to what your actual playing partners are asking you to do. So, you know, they may ask you to play short, they may ask you to play long. So there's a lot of skill element involved in it.
What about the practicalities of playing it as well? I mean, how do you line up your shot and know your distances when you're sending the stone down the ice?
It's really all about feel, to be honest. You know, it's not something that you can really teach anyone. You really just need to play it in order to understand the actual weight that you need to put behind it. From a personal point of view, I've got tunnel vision, so I'm fortunate enough I can actually just about see the other end of the ice, so I can roughly tell where I need to be and what needs to be done. Being a former bowler, it's the principles are the same. You know, as bowls, you've got the weight of the stone. As it turns one way or the other, it'll come from outside to in. And obviously, the wider you go, the more turn you have to put on the stone. So there's a lot of different elements involved in it.
And so, as in, say, blind golf, then, would you have a sighted assistance there to kind of give you all the information you need before you start to send a stone down the ice?
Yeah, there'll be someone either standing directly in front of you at your end of the ice to tell you what sort of line to take, or they can go further up the ice. They can actually stand at the far end in the opposite house and give you an indication from there. For myself, as I said, I'm quite fortunate. I can just about see the other end, so someone standing pointing to where they need me to be, I can roughly tell where they are. For the likes of Jim, who is 98% completely blind with light perception, I actually established a system using a torch whereby I can shine a torch for Jim and he can pick a line from there.
So some ingenious ways there, Jim. You said only 6 months in the season. Is it growing as in domestic leagues within Scotland or indeed the UK, or are you still looking abroad?
In Scotland, Disabled Curlers members are playing in around about 6 venues each season. That tend to be Central Belt, I have to say, because distance to travel, distance to get people from A to B and get everything organized can be quite tricky. And then when you get, you know, it's always nice to have a little bit of a game at the end of things. We've run things like the Wii Order of Merit for points, etc., to try and select this team to go to Canada and various things like that. But in Canada itself, for example, it's the blind and vision impaired curling is absolutely massive. It really is. And you know, we've looked to the Canadians to basically steal their ideas. You know, let's be absolutely honest here. We've watched them on YouTube and various phone calls. And when Doris came across, we basically said, "Let's just have all your ideas, and we'll steal them." You know, take their framework and all the best of what we consider good ideas and use them.
Steve, it must be exciting getting the invite to go over there. Jim saying it is such a big sport over there. How do you think it'll go for you?
Well, I mean, certainly this is the first time we've gone as a competitive team. As Jim mentioned before, we're there in 2010 just as three of us. But, you know, the four of us actually going to take part as a team will be a slightly different angle to it this time. So, you know, the nerves are there, obviously, but it's, at the end of the day, the excitement is palpable to that because, you know, we're basically pioneering, if you like, for disabled curling going across to Canada as the first group for fully inclusive disabilities. And we'll be playing against not only visually impaired teams, but also able-bodied teams as well. So it gives a lot of different people a different perspective of what we're trying to achieve here.
And a great way to build connections as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Just finally then, Jim, if people would like to learn more about curling, how can they get in touch if they're in the Scotland area and can get to the Central Belt and so on?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly want to develop things beyond the Central Belt. You know, anywhere in Scotland, there's 22 ice rinks in the country, so, and there's only a couple down in England. So the more the better, really. But certainly the primary outlet for Disabled Curler Scotland is the website. So any sort of search on one of your favourite search engines will get you to Disabled Curlers Scotland.
Fantastic. Well, Jim and Stevie, best of luck with growing the game and, of course, the trip to Canada. And thank you for telling us all about it on RNIB Connect Radio.
OK, that's great. Thanks very much, Alan.
Yeah, thanks, Alan.